Dan Riccio and Eric Thomas, joined by Lee Bentham. How's it going?
Turn him on there.
Oh, we need him to be turned on.
Is he on? Go
there
ahead.
We go.
There it is.
How you doing, guys?
Yeah, we're doing good. How are you?
I've known this guy since the year they invented rope. That's how far back we go.
Don't give it all away.
Lee Bentham from Toronto, Ontario, is currently the driver coach for Ed Carpenter Racing for drivers Ed Carpenter on ovals only. Mm-hmm. Spencer Pigot, new arrival, basically, and J.R. Hildebrand. And certainly yourself, from the old players program in Atlantics, you have experience at this racetrack. What year are we talking about?
I have experience here, 97, 98, 99, some of 96.
But has it changed so? But it's changed so drastically since those days.
It has. It's a completely different track, really. I mean, it went from one of the fastest street course corners in turn 11 to now quite tight. You know, they've widened it as much as they possibly can, but it's a challenging track now.
Yeah. Do you basically, I mean, it's a fundamental question, I suppose, if you're a driver's coach. Can you take what you did here in Atlantics on a track that was so different and apply that to what you're telling Spencer and what you're telling JR?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. What's the main thing you're telling them? I don't want to give away all the secrets, but...
You know, a lot of it is just, like, dealing with the grip changes and the surface changes.
Right, so from the concrete dash.
Yeah, there's always been concrete patches here. There's always been curbing here and your apexing walls and things like that.
Right.
So a lot of it is the similarities and just how to approach that. Where to maximize your braking, how to get across the concrete, and you know, get the car to rotate and everything, and none of that really changes.
No,
you know, the experience is there to deal with that. Yeah,
Lee Bentham is with us, driver coach for Ed Carpenter Racing. Now, you just came from a driver's meeting,
correct?
Right to our location. What do they do in driver's meetings that these guys don't probably know already? This is a green flag. You know, they're not doing
that. Yeah, we really don't talk about the flags too much. They don't know that by now.
Yeah, well, exactly. I'm only being an idiot, and I'm very good at that.
Yeah.
What do they cover in a typical driver's meeting?
A lot of it is safety. Here especially, the pit lane is so tight. It's one of the tightest, smallest pit lanes that we're working with, and it, you know, it snakes around from left to right to left. And there's a lot of safety issues there, taking care of the crew guys and whatnot, and lane protocol and where you can or cannot put a car when guys are getting released out of their boxes, you know, how that's going to work.
Okay.
And so they're really concerned about keeping all the personnel safe. So that's a large portion of
it's
of
basically
what we
safety
talk
in
about.
The pits, because it does snake, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
One of the big talking points today is obviously the weather with rain in the forecast.
Yeah.
How are you guys preparing for that?
We gotta wait and see. I mean,
that's all you can do, though, right?
I'm sure if with the TV window and everything, if they can get the race off a little bit sooner, they will try to do that.
Right.
You know, if it's possible, but we're kind of at the mercy of what the broadcast is going to be like, and giving the people the best show, obviously. So, we would prefer it not to have a torrential downpour situation.
Isn't it better, though, to start the race wet than have it start
probably
three laps in on slicks?
But it makes it more interesting, for sure, strategy-wise.
Oh, good word.
First one on rain tires, first one off usually wins it. We've done that a couple of times in the past.
Has that been the main topic, talking point around here? We talk about the bumps, you know, and we've talked too much. Somebody said, you guys talk too much about bumps. But it's such a big part of this. I mean, the important part of the racetrack, and correct me if I'm wrong, and you're probably telling your guys this because they're out there doing it, the setup to turn one is probably the most critical, and that's
it
where
is.
The track is the bumpiest. There's a washboard there.
Yeah.
We had Graham Rahal here yesterday. Said it's even interrupting
launched his car off
up off the ground, like off-roading, and he said it's affecting my vision.
Yep.
And going into turn one, that's not a good thing.
It's not a good thing, and there's definitely a way to get through there that is better than, you know, some other ways. A lot of that is, you know, we're working on braking methods and line into there, how you're bending into the corner. I mean, there's some things there that you can do to sort of minimize that and how you're using the brakes on those bumps. So it's definitely a stylized thing that you have to work with to get through there. And then also working with engineering to you know, get the ride quality better, because that's a big part of a lap here.
Toronto's Lee Bentham is the driver coach for Ed Carpenter Racing for drivers J.R. Hildebrand and Spencer Pigot. Different guys. Yesterday, JR had a bit of an adventure into the with some contact late in the session. Indeed. He's obviously okay. How much damage on the car?
It was all right.
It was okay.
Fixable.
Fixable, right?
Yep, left front corner and whatnot. So nothing we can fix.
Those two pupils that you coach, Are they vastly different in style, similar in style? Describe how JR's application may be different from Spencer's.
They both require a little bit of a different car, balance-wise.
You know,
and they like to do things in a different way. One is a little more entry-focused, one is a little more exit-focused, and things like that. So, there's slight differences in the cars that they need to, you know, and all drivers are going to be that way. I mean, no one's ever going to run the exact same car as someone else, unless you're struggling so badly.
Right.
And one car is extremely quick and one is not. Then you might go to a setup and just say, hey, you know, try this. Yeah. But, you know, we definitely do things, you know, to cater to what their natural style is, what their ability is, and, you know, what they will excel at. You know, because one guy is always going to be, you know, you have like a Sato that's really good on brakes, you know.
Yeah.
So you're going to try and maximize what he can do really well without giving up some of the other things that you need to do in a corner to be quick.
Interesting, so. Yeah. How did you get into this driving coaching thing? I mean, your driving days were pretty much done, and you were, you know, ricocheting around in the sport. How did you latch on with Ed at Ed Carpenter and become a driver coach, Lee? Just give us the $1.50 tour of the timeline.
I was doing a lot of manufacturers events as an instructor and whatnot, sort of in the in-between time of finishing racing and getting back into the coaching, and then I had actually... I got a call from my old team, Forsyth, and they wanted help with the Atlantic drivers, which at the time was one of the drivers was Hinchcliffe.
Ironic, isn't it?
And we had Andreas Wirth and Leo Maia, Richard Philippe. So it was like a four-car team. They wanted some help there. And then shortly after that, my good friend David Emperingham actually put me on to Derek Walker, who was running ECR at the time, helped start up the... the team, and we talked, and it was a good fit. And I was supposed to really just start on the ovals.
I see. Okay.
Or I'm sorry, on the road courses,
helping
Ed because he was going to run a full season, and he had only done ovals previous to that. So I was kind of like the road course specialist, and then of course we moved on, and now I've been there for 5-6 years.
I was just going to ask you how long you've been there. Five, 6 years.
Yeah.
You obviously enjoy it. You still have that twinkle in your eye. I know you'd like to be out there racing, but this is, you know, to be able to coach guys and pass along your expertise and look at the bigger picture. That's something I think you enjoy.
Yeah, and fine-tuning a lot of the details that even I wish that I had when I was driving, you know, helping those guys. And when you see some success and you see this, you know, climb up and, you know, I'm able to help those guys go faster and do their job better, just being a cog in the larger machine is really satisfying, especially when we have success doing it.
Right. Spencer is a guy I think that's been pretty impressive in the limited amount of time. He's only started, basically.
Yeah.
Pretty aggressive style. I mean, the guy likes to go after it. I mean, JR does to a certain degree, but I like Spencer's aggression, and I think you do too.
I do too. He's a real street fighter, and you know, we'll get to the point with experience with the tires and cars that he's going to qualify better. I mean, we only missed transferring yesterday by a hundredth of a second.
You mentioned that,
But he is a street fighter all the way, always moves forward in the race, you know, so knock on wood, we'll have another good one today, and he's going to be in attack mode, and we'll get up to the front with him.
I was going through, Lee Bentham is the driver coach for Ed Carpenter Racing, Eric Thomas, Dan Riccio. We're live from the Honda Indy Toronto 33rd 2017 edition from the atrium of the Enercare Center just outside the IndyCar paddock right next to where Tim Hortons has given out free lattes. I haven't blinked for the last half hour, but other than that, we're okay.
Did they pay for that sponsorship?
No, well, they might have, but how Canadian is this? Get Tim and Lee Bentham sitting across.
You've got to get a double-double if you're
Canadian. Get double-double. You know, yeah, you can. And mini size, too, boy. I'll tell you, they're good. They're pretty powerful. I had a few emails from listeners. Young guy wanted to know, and this is something that I always like to talk about because we rarely do, is that what the routine is for a driver going into a race weekend. You're their coach. You're not with them all the time.
Right.
But take us back to, say, after the qualifying was all done and all everything, and now they're in street clothes. They're back at their hotel. They may go for dinner. They may not. What's the routine for an average guy getting ready to race the Indy this afternoon?
You know, I think just staying in the mentality of, you know, being the driver, not just kind of thinking of the small details that, you know, of the things coming up that you need to do.
Right.
We do a lot of debriefing after the sessions too. So we're usually here until dinner time or just past dinner time, actually, with the drivers going over stuff that we could have done better, should do better for the next day.
Okay.
You know, and then honestly, it's a pretty mild evening. There's, you know, it's not what everybody thinks all the time, where you're just, you know,
you're
going out on a yacht and partying.
No, you can't, because I mean, you're
early
up
morning.
Early,
I mean,
right?
Yeah, it's just go back to the hotel, maybe a quick shower, change, go out to eat real quick.
Real quick.
Get some sleep. You know, sleep is important.
Very much important. Yeah, don't party,
you know, show up bright and early the next day, ready to go.
Yeah. Do when you were racing, did you what was your meal intake like before the race? I mean, you want to hydrate because it gets pretty darn hot and you sweat an awful lot and you lose pounds in a race like this. I mean, what's normally the procedure meal wise coming into the morning and then getting ready for warm up? Is everybody's different, of course. You were different, you had your own way of doing it.
Yeah.
What do guys more or less stick to?
You know, pasta, chicken and rice.
Okay.
Know, the kind of the things that you would you would normally think. Just like not eating too heavy. You're not gonna go to a Brazilian steakhouse and then like have meat sweats that night and
meat sweats.
You know, get up the next morning and you know, you're not feeling too great, low in energy. I mean, just, you know, the typical stuff that, you know, and you want to be careful. And obviously, hydration is the most important. I mean, even if you're hungry, you still need a lot of water.
You're
in your
packing
body.
Away the water, right?
And there's, you know, they sweat a lot here. You know, it's a, it's just the roughness of the track alone beats your body
physically
up
demanding this place.
And wears you out.
Yeah,
so,
and like probably no other track on the schedule.
Yeah,
this
Detroit.
May be the most physical. Detroit?
About Detroit. You know,
Detroit,
it's about the same. But, yeah, it's a lot of work getting around there just on the bump. So, I mean, That's what they do. And not eating too late either. You got to digest that meal and get up in the morning and just eat lightly.
But then you're hungry as heck when the race is over, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Generally. Yeah.
And adrenaline does that.
Well, I mean, yes, it does. I remember sometimes we would have Tagliani, another one of the, you know, Canadian guys, on with us. And as we're getting ready for his interview, he's just finished doing something.
Uh-huh.
And he is, like, ravenously hungry. And he's going, you got something to eat around here? And we had to go across the thing and get some ribs for him because he was absolutely ready to, you know,
he's ready to
chew
out
the leg off the table. He's that hungry.
Sounds like Alex.
Yeah, it does. It does. We know him very, very well. Lee Bentham, the coach, driver coach for Ed Carpenter Racing, as we're live and direct from the Honda Indy Toronto on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Is there one bad habit most drivers have that you've had to break? I mean, everyone is different. We talk, you know, the different application. I mean,
but if
all the drivers that you've worked with right across the board, maybe it's an unfair question, but is there one bad habit that you say, no, if you do it this way, you're going to turn better laps, you're going to have more success? Or can we generalize it like that?
It's hard to generalize because you've got stylized differences between the drivers, and then you've got which series did they come from. A lot of them might come from Indy Lights, so those are a little more similar.
Okay.
And, you know, there's some, maybe, I don't want to say bad habits, but there are different ways of driving the Lights car and the way their tires are versus when they get to Indy car.
I gotcha.
There's a definite way to do it and not do it, you know, and sometimes it's just overdriving. You know, so that's the general one that everybody does. You know, you really have to learn how to use the Firestone tires effectively, and there's a small envelope for that.
Right, right. How do they balance between, okay, you know, like Lee said, you know, going to this corner, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. Oh, there's two cars on either side of me.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to change what I do.
Well, then you go into battle mode.
And what does that mean? You just throw caution to the wind and get in there?
You know, you got to protect your position. And, like, you know, doing a fast lap and then racing a guy is almost two completely different things. You're setting them up differently. You're looking for a corner exit now just to get a run on a guy. And, you know, car positioning doesn't always come into play for passing a guy as it does when you're trying to go as fast as possible through a corner, because you could be dive bombing, you could be, you know, there's a lot of things you're going to do differently. So
it's multifaceted. There's a whole lot more than just getting out there, hitting the throttle, and steering around here.
Oh yeah,
all that has to come to play, and you keep it all in order for Ed Carpenter Racing, for Spencer Pickett, and J.R. Hildebrand. I know you got to get out. Everybody's pointing at their watch.
Yeah,
you have a very nice watch. You got to get out of here, Lee. You've been a good friend and a good guy for a long, long time, and we mean that. Thank you very much for spending a few minutes with us here.
Hey, thanks. Always a pleasure to be here.